The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3 KUAF, your home for NPR News for more than 32 years. And this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, September 15th, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. In about 10 minutes on Ozarks, a preview of the new retrospective opening this weekend at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda was there yesterday and got a preview. First, our regular exhibition of ideas, facts, and knowledge shared by Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics. He's in his Fort Smith office and with us once again on Ozarks at Large. Welcome back, Michael.
Well, thanks for having me back, and apologize in advance for my voice. About between the last couple days and this morning, I've about talked it out.
Well, let's talk.
You put me on the spot. You talk about facts and knowledge. Okay, I'm going to try.
Right. Well, it's fitting that I bring that up because you've got some facts and knowledge about something that has just been revealed, within the past half hour before this conversation began. Walmart has big plans in Bentonville.
Yes, they are going to build a new home office pretty much on Central Avenue. It's the new corporate campus will be built on the east side of Southeast J Street, for those familiar with that area. It'll be bordered by Highway 102 to the south, Highway 72 to the north, which is Central Avenue. Back in July, we had a story about how Walmart, over the past 12 months, had spent just a little bit under $37 million to buy 31 acres, just a little over 31 acres. They were all contiguous. And we said at the time that it looks like they're preparing for a home office campus. Folks are also familiar with Bentonville will know that that's where the new east-west corridor is being built with the access, with the new interchange on I-49. So this is going to be a direct route into the new headquarters.
And this is going to, based on the story that was just posted before you and I talked at talkbusiness.net, it looks like they're going to be combining a lot of the different properties that Walmart has in Bentonville eventually into this one campus.
Yes. You know, the facilities they're in now were built in the 70s. And if you've ever been to some of the Walmart stores, I remember the first time I went, I thought it looked like, you know, a funeral home had married a really poorly designed 1970s apartment complex. You know, it wasn't that impressive for the world's largest retailer. And Walmart has acknowledged that in this, you know, when Randy Hargrove called Paul Gatling this morning to tell him about this was coming up, you know, he said that, well, I'll just read the quote, the buildings we have are really beyond their shelf life. And then he went on to say, this will help us, quote, attract the next generation of talent to compete. So, yes, they've got people scattered all over. That's not efficient. So they're going to consolidate them. Kyle, the only thing, the Sam's Club headquarters is going to stay in the same place. It's in like a 320,000 square foot facility. They're adjacent to the where the home office is now. They said they didn't yet have a cost estimate, so they're not that far in the planning process.
And they also say that the construction of everything there could take up to 7 years.
It's not going to be immediate. And they'll do it in phases. With that many people, you can't just move everybody in at once. You know, you can't build a building and move everybody in at once. So just from a logistics standpoint, it will have to be phased in, I suspect.
Any idea what will happen to the buildings Walmart's currently in?
But Hargrove did give us a little bit of a hint. He said, you know, some of them may not be there anymore. So there'll be maybe some parking spaces. Mm-hmm. I know that I would not be surprised, Kyle, to see some interesting, some of that property turned into some interesting green space or open spaces with art or walking trails. And they even did hint that they're going to, their new facility, or this is more of a tease than a hint, would be integrated into the community trail system. So I have a feeling that they're not just going to throw up four walls and put a roof on it. It's probably going to be something that looks very impressive.
Well, this is good news, because it was about time something started to get built in downtown Bentonville.
Yeah, that poor downtown Bentonville. It's been neglected, so this could help. Yes.
This isn't the only Walmart news of the week, is it?
Well, no, and it's a good segue. earlier this week, and it's not a sexy headline. It's not new corporate headquarters, but it is a big deal for those of us watching Walmart. They announced that they're going to reduce their operational divisions in their more than 4,500 U.S. stores from 6 divisions to 4, and all 4 of those divisions are going to report to one person, who's Executive Vice President Mike Moore. And then he, of course, reports up to Greg Foran. And, the reason this is a big deal is this is part of that promise that both Doug McMillon and Greg Foran is head of the Walmart U.S. stores. This is part of that promise they made 3-4 years ago to essentially cut the distance, so to speak, between the stores and the management. I think if you remember, Doug McMillon said, and I think Sam Walton had this quote first, but Doug reminds everybody that there are no cash registers in the home office. So, So they want to cut that distance. And look, Walmart plans often change in a couple of years, but McMillon and Foran and others, they really stuck with this plan to, cut the layers of bureaucracy. Will it work? I don't know. We'll let history tell us whether it'll work. But I've been somewhat impressed by how they stuck with this this concept.
Finally, let's move north to south to another part of our listening area, Fort Smith. Metro home sales up for the first 8 months. Not the most robust month in August, but still up year to year.
Yes, year over year. I think that's a key point. They were down. It was the monthly total for Sebastian and Crawford County was just under $32 million. That's compared to almost $35 million last August. But for the year, still impressive number. The home sales for the two counties total almost $226 million, which is up a little over 10% year to date. That's a good, healthy market. So for those who are looking for a bright spot in the regional, Fort Smith regional economy, there you go. Sebastian County sales were up almost 9%. Crawford County sales are up almost 16%. So it's a good tally for the home market. And, that's often a sign, again, we've mentioned it, sign of consumer confidence, sign of a good employment. So it'll be interesting to see how the year pans out.
All right. More details about the new Walmart headquarters plan for Bentonville, home sales, and much more at talkbusiness.net. I know you've been talking all morning as this story was breaking. I appreciate it. So I'm going to give you 2 possible remedies. One is hot tea with lemon. One is rye whiskey. So you can choose.
You never go wrong with whiskey, again.
Yeah, I think that's a yes. Yes, I'm sure that's true.
You can't go wrong. Okay.
All right. Michael Tilley, thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir.
Washington, D.C. is preparing for protests from dozens of causes this weekend. We'll bring you the details. And we'll take you to Cincinnati, where One Newsroom sent 60 journalists to closely cover the opioid crisis, and Seattle, where the mayor's resigned after being accused of sexually abusing children. That and all the latest news Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition tomorrow morning from 7 to 9 on 91.3. A new temporary exhibition is opening at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art this weekend. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda attended a preview of the show yesterday, and she brings us this report.
A love of jazz is one of the things that informed Stuart Davis's art. So it's fitting that jazz music can be heard throughout the gallery containing Crystal Bridges' new temporary exhibition, Stuart Davis in Full Swing. It's the first major exhibition in 20 years dedicated to Davis, a key figure in the development of American modern art. Crystal Bridges is the final venue for the show, which was co-organized by the National Gallery of Art and the Whitney Museum of American Art. Marky Conrads, Crystal Bridges' Director of Curatorial Affairs, says gallery guests may notice several of Davis's works are comprised of thick paint.
He was a very, you might call, craftsman-like painter. He planned his paintings very carefully, and at the root of them all is drawings. He was constantly drawing, and you'll see a selection. Here's a drawing right here. This gives you an idea of just how planned everything is. But at the same time, and this is where I think he takes a page from the jazz playbook, is that he will plan to the nth degree, but he allows room for mistakes and then to turn them into improvisations. And so you see that throughout his career.
The painter's career spans 5 decades, and 86 of his pieces are displayed in chronological order throughout the gallery. The exhibition incorporates 5 works from Crystal Bridge's permanent collection, including a 1912 self-portrait, which Harry Cooper, senior curator of modern art at the National Gallery of Art, says was not present at the exhibition's other 3 stops.
You know, I'm struck by that painting. I keep going back to it. It's a wonderful self-portrait image. Born in 1892 in Philly, his parents are artists and illustrators. He moves to New Jersey, but by age 16 or 17, he drops out of high school, goes to New York to study with Robert Henri, who is the really great avant-garde American painter and educator, right, of that time.
Curatorial Affairs Director Margie Conrads says Henri urged students to go out on the streets and paint real life.
And that's something that Davis takes to his core, and he kind of mixes it with a love of Walt Whitman's poetry. And so in an interesting way, I think of Davis as a street artist. Mm-hmm. The other thing that he gets from Henri is a manner of painting, which is to have your paint style be authentic as your subject matter.
Packaged tobacco is depicted in a pair of paintings, an example of Davis's interest in everyday life as subject matter. Harry Cooper with the National Gallery of Art says there's a real originality in these works.
I think if there's one sort of big takeaway for Davis, it's putting together this real interest in American scene and spirit with all of the experiment of European modernism, French art in particular, his heroes. Among them are Leger, Matisse, Miro. How do you bring that all together? I think we see a little bit of it here. We also see some things that he will stick with for the next half century: interest in packaging, products, commerce. It's pop art before there was pop art. To make this a subject is pretty radical at this time.
The rich, vibrant colors of Davis's paintings really pop against the gray gallery walls. Both curators agree the painter's career really thrived in the 1950s. A sitting area has been installed in this section of the exhibit, so guests can take time to observe works from this era. With an orange sectional, gold rug, a record player, and vintage magazines, the decor of the room embodies the decade. In the 1960s, Davis worked with a very restricted palette of black, white, red, green, and an orangish yellow. These colors are present in his final unfinished canvas, which is on display at the end of the exhibit. Margie Conrads says this was the painting on his easel when he passed away suddenly.
He leaves us with this, with us always wondering, where would he have gone next? He certainly would have found something that continued his practice of inventiveness and an extraordinary way at looking at American life.
Stuart Davis in Full Swing opens to the public tomorrow and is on view through January 1st. Admission is $8 for adults or $12 combined with Chihuly in the Forest. There is no cost for museum members and children 18 and younger. More information is available at crystalbridges.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
That's Paul McCandless and his group Charged Particles. Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday night and Saturday morning here on KUAF and KUAF HD3. We'll hear more from Paul McCandless and other groups that will be performing this weekend in Eureka Springs as part of Jazz Eureka. We'll also hear from Bobby Timmons, Wes Montgomery, and much more. Shades of Jazz right here on KUAF.
If you'd like, you can have somebody else take care of breakfast, lunch, and dinner tomorrow in Northwest Arkansas. It begins with a pancake breakfast fundraiser benefiting the Gear Hogs robotics team tomorrow morning from 7 until 10 at Parsons Stadium in Springdale. If you'd like to know more, you can go to Facebook, then just search for Gear Hogs 3612. Now, for lunch, there is the annual World Champion Squirrel Cook-Off taking place in downtown Bentonville tomorrow. It's all day, and it's at the 8th Street Market. That's south of the square. It's free, And besides gourmet squirrel concoctions, the event will have other tasty treats. Live music will be playing. And you can find out much more at squirrelcookoff.com or search Facebook for World Champion Squirrel Cookoff. In the past, there's actually even been squirrel ice cream. Then, Tricycle Farms will invite you to the 6th annual Pesto Fest that takes place tomorrow evening from 5 until 10 in Fayetteville. The event will feature prizes for best pesto, more live music, children's activities. There will be a raffle, more food, more drink. For tickets, tricyclefarms.org. Some of the music at Tricycle Farms Pesto Fest tomorrow, Handmade Moments. And ahead on today's edition of Ozarks at Large, Anna and Joel, Handmade Moments, will bring instruments and voices into the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Yeah. Before they play at tomorrow's Pesto Fest and Stage 18 next week, they play for us. That's ahead on today's Ozarks at Large.
Community Creative Center's fall art classes and workshops begin September 25th. Adult classes include figure drawing, ceramics, pottery wheel, painting, and date night workshop, ghost wheel. Clay, art, and painting classes are available for children 6 and up. New this fall, adult intro to clay and playful painting. CommunityCreativeCenter.org for more. Support for 91.3 comes from Working Class Physical Therapy, offering therapies for neurological conditions, including Parkinson's and stroke, plus massage and education regarding posture, body mechanics, and general stress reduction. 466-6910 or email therapydawn@aol.com. The Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, the region's daily newspaper, offers local news where we live, play, and work in Benton and Washington counties. It's one newspaper for one region. The Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, online at nwadg.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Arkansas's median incomes are rising, but still low compared to the rest of the country. New information from the U.S. Census Bureau puts the median income of an Arkansas household at a bit over $44,000 a year. That's a gain of 5.5% over the previous year. Still, that figure is one of the lowest in the nation, more than $12,000 below the countrywide median income of more than $56,500 a year. The report, released yesterday, also places more than 12% of Arkansas families below the federal poverty line. University of Arkansas Chancellor Joseph Steinmetz says the school can play a major role in improving lives of Arkansans. Yesterday, during a 30-minute State of the University address on campus, the chancellor discussed the responsibility the university has to the state and region.
We also need to be more active in identifying opportunities that might help generate economic activity, supporting the state as well as the university. That's part of the reason we created a new position, Vice Chancellor for Economic Development, which will be established by Dean Stacy Leeds.
The chancellor also says the University of Arkansas is standing strongly behind DACA students as the program's fate remains unknown. He says university officials have spoken with Arkansas's federal representatives.
And the reason is fundamental, I think, to the entire nation. There are great contributions that are made by these individuals, and I think it's a mistake to just simply turn away and turn aside. So we'll do all we can.
Chancellor Steinmetz made his comments yesterday in the Faulkner Performing Arts Center on the U of A campus. A rally scheduled tomorrow in Arkansas is intended to direct attention to vacancies in the veterans' health care system nationally. Tomorrow's event at the Veterans Healthcare System of the Ozarks in Fayetteville will begin at 10. Organizers say they plan to address the more than 49,000 unfilled positions across the country and call for immediate staffing of those jobs. The director of the Library of Congress's Veterans History Project is in Northwest Arkansas this weekend. Colonel Karen Lloyd will meet with Arkansas veterans and participate in a panel discussion tomorrow afternoon at the Fayetteville Public Library. That panel discussion will also include a screening of part of the new Ken Burns documentary, The Vietnam War. She'll also meet a pair of veterans tomorrow morning who are both 100 years old. The University of Arkansas Fort Smith volleyball team now 6-3 after defeating Missouri Western State last night in Stubblefield Center. UAFS is on the court again tonight in Fort Smith, matched up against Northwest Missouri State. And the University of Arkansas soccer team is home this weekend in Fayetteville. Arkansas hosts Mississippi State tonight at 7, and they will play Oral Roberts University Sunday evening at 5 at Razorback Field.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. We're in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio today with John Newman. He's with the group Polo in the Ozarks. John, thanks for coming back up and talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
It's that time of year again, isn't it?
It is.
Polo in the Ozarks. Been taking place out at the what's called the Buell Farm.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Near Goshen. For how long now?
This will be our 28th year. Okay. Of having a polo event benefiting lifestyles. A Fayetteville. We work with individuals with disabilities, helping them to further their independence in the community. So we have a number of programs and services all geared toward helping those individuals who are members of our community live more independent lives.
Lifestyles has been around for some time, too, has it not?
It has. We recently celebrated our 40th anniversary. Wow. We're in year 42 now. Our mission is to help individuals with disabilities live lives that are as independent as possible in the community setting. And so everything that we do and every program that we offer is really geared toward that goal. We have a residential setting on our campus that we like to call transitional living. And what we do is when some individuals come into the program, if there is space available, they will start at our residential site, acquire many of the skills that we feel are necessary to live relatively independent in the community, and then they'll transition into community living in their own apartment somewhere throughout Northwest Arkansas.
And that's why we're talking about this Polo in the Ozarks mm-hmm. event. Again, that's Saturday, September 16th. If someone has never heard of this, how would you explain it?
The gates open at 4. Okay. The match starts at 4:30. During the match, there are a number of tailgates where, you know, our guests are able to watch a polo match, have free food and drinks. We wrap the match up at about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and we have a gala in the evening. We have a great band this year. We invited Full Flavor Kings out of Tulsa, Oklahoma to come back. We had a really great response last year from that band, so we brought them back, and it's just a really good time. It looks like the weather's going to cooperate.
I think it is.
I'd like to also mention that there's no Razorback game. So
you won't be missing.
No, we will. No one will miss a game, and so it'll be a wonderful time to come out, and all proceeds go to help the programs and services that we offer for the clients of our program, and all of those proceeds help support individuals in the transition toward independence.
Again, September 16th out at the Buell Farm near Goshen. We've been speaking to John Newman with Polo in the Ozarks. John, thanks so much for coming back up.
Thank you so much for having me, Pete.
For more on Saturday's event, polointheozarks.org.
This is a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large. The Native Plant Garden Project, in partnership with the Northwest Arkansas Master Naturalists and the Eureka Springs Parks and Recreation Commission, will host the inaugural Native Plant Fair in Eureka Springs Saturday, September 30th. It's free. It will feature exhibits by area and state plant societies and alliances and will take place at the new Eureka Springs Community Center on 44 Kings Highway. That's from 9 to 5 that day, beginning with a native plant sale, followed by a day filled with events. Chris Fisher, a member of the Native Garden Project, is co-organizing the event.
So our plant sale gets started at 9 in the morning, and then 9:30 we'll start up with our presentations, and that's leading off with Stephen Foster, the amazing herbalist and nature photographer, and the senior author of 3 Peterson Field Guides. We have Scott Woodbury, the manager of the Whitmire Wildflower Garden at Shaw Nature Reserve, will be speaking about native plant gardening in our region. And at lunch, which will be available from our farmers market truck at the community center and local nearby restaurants, we'll jump into a presentation by Theo Witzel, the state of Arkansas botanist and ecologist with the Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission, who will be talking about the native plants of the Ozark Plateau.
Presentations will be held in Eureka Springs Community Center's Highlander Room. And later, there will be a guided native plant walk taking place, revealing a new plant subspecies recently discovered in the Lake Leatherwood Park. If you'd like to learn more, there is a link at ozarksatlarge.com. And speaking of Eureka Springs, investigation continues into some stolen crochet art. An outdoor installation by Eureka Springs musician and crochet artist Gina Rose Galena was vandalized last month in Eureka. She had temporarily wrapped the trunks of a half dozen box elder trees standing in the city's North Main Street Music Park with hand crocheted coverings. The yarn works were originally commissioned by the city for an Art of Crochet festival. She says she first discovered the tree sweaters were missing while driving by the park late last month.
And a few people were saying, oh, well, maybe somebody needed them for blankets because they were cold. Well, I wish that was the case, but if they did, they're ruined. That's a lot of repair work.
It took Gina Galena and a team of artists a month to crochet the blankets, carefully stitching the 2x6 foot tall coverings into place. She says both locals and tourists enjoyed what she calls tree sweaters. She's also been known to cover tall light posts and other outdoor infrastructure referred to by crochet artists as yarn bombing. Galena says since word got out about the theft, she's received offers to help redrape the music park forest.
I kind of see it as a way of painting. You know, when I cover a chair, it's like, oh, it's kind of almost like I painted it, but I covered it with yarn. And it's texture, it's fun, it's, like I said, it's unusual. People go, oh my gosh, there's all these crocheted trees.
Galena plans to host a winter crochet party to create a fresh set of tree sweaters. In the meantime, she's alerted Eureka trash collectors to keep watch for her ruined quilts, hoping to catch the vandals.
Yeah, if I find out who they are, if I catch them, I'm going to make them learn how to crochet.
Galena says Eureka Springs police investigating the theft have estimated the value of the crochet art at $1,800.
This week on Latino USA, we take a good old-fashioned road trip to see what life is like for Latinos in the Deep South.
People say to me, what? They're Latinos in Alabama? And, you know, it's the Southeast that has seen the largest growth in Latinos in the past more than 20 years.
That's this week on Latino USA.
That's tomorrow beginning at 3 on 91.3. It's Friday, September 15th, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Happy Friday.
Let's do the time warp again.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, Rocky Horror Show.
Show, that's right, because this is the live
this
version.
This is the live version, and I've seen it twice, and I'm going back. It's so good. It's at Arkansas Public Theater in Rogers.
Right.
If you remember the MCN Cabaret, a show I really don't like because it depresses me. But remember this guy named Michael Myers who was amazing. And then he was the Boy George character in Wedding Singer. And now he's Dr. Frankenfurter.
The lead.
If you don't know Rocky Horror, you probably ought to watch the movie before you go see it.
Just to get a grasp of it?
To get a grasp of it. And also because you will be that much more astounded by what an amazing job this cast has done.
And this is opening weekend?
This is opening weekend. Last night was what they call IDR, Invitational Dress Rehearsal. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a theater crowd have so much fun and hoot and holler and carry on.
Now, many of the midnight showings over the past several decades have included people throwing things. That's not going to happen.
No, we do not get to throw things in the audience. However, if you want to do all the other stuff, like there's a light and you hold your phone up for the light, you can jump up and do the time warp. You can do anything you want to, short of throwing things at fellow patrons or the actors.
And that's only fair.
Get thee to Arkansas Public Theater and go in costume, because there were people there in costume last night.
Right.
I'm not wearing heels that high. 8 o'clock today and tomorrow, 2 on Sunday, and again the next 2 weekends. And tickets start at $23. This weekend is also the fifth. It's too much to do.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
You just can't do it all, but there's not too much.
There's not too much. You just can't do it all. That doesn't make any sense, but okay. This weekend's also the Fayetteville Film Festival.
Yeah, it's open Tuesday, and it's been rolling since.
And they've got 4 feature films this year, which we are going to talk briefly about because we haven't done that. One of them is called American Folk. That happens tonight at 6:30. It's directed by David Hines, and it has Joe Purdy in it.
Joe Purdy, the singer?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's about two strangers who are both folk musicians, and they're stranded in California and take a road trip to New York in the days after 9/11. It says it's a story about the kindness of strangers and the power of music. Then at 8:30, this is the movie we featured in What's Up, and it sold out. I'm kind of proud of that. Yeah. It's called Door in the Woods. The director is Chase Goforth, and a young family is tormented by paranormal events after installing a vintage door in their house. Saturday at 1 o'clock, Davion by Aman Abbasi.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually at Sundance. It was nominated for an audience award at Sundance. In the wake of his older brother's death, 13-year-old Davion spends the summer roaming his rural Arkansas town and falls in with a local gang. And then 7:30 Saturday night is All the Birds Have Flown South, directed by Joshua Miller and Miles Miller from Little Rock. After the death of his overbearing mother, a sheltered man attempts to win the affection of a degenerate waitress by caring for her terminally ill and abusive husband. I love happy films. So check out the film festival. You can find out more about all of them at FayettevilleFilmFest.org. And then, of course, tomorrow night. It really is too much. You can't do it all. This weekend's the Cane Hill Harvest Festival.
Right. Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. And there's all sorts of soap making and sorghum making and all sorts of period things to do. Or there's Trout Fishing in America and eight other concerts.
Yeah, and the price for all of that is free.
Exactly. And this is, I haven't seen Trout play since their new CD came out, The Strangest Times. So you know where I'll be Saturday night.
And they're headlining the Saturday bill, right?
They're headlining
starting
at 6 o'clock.
Eight, six. Okay.
Six. Arkansas is at 4. And then Trout at 6.
Gotcha.
And then Fun Home wraps up this weekend.
I'm finally seeing it tonight.
Oh, good. I think it sold out all weekend.
Yeah, I think it was very close. So we've got, let's see, Rocky Horror.
Fun Home.
Film Festival. All
and
of that.
Trout Fishing in America.
And you'll be back Sunday to tell us more.
And I'll be back Sunday, and there's more.
All right. Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
KUAF is giving away tickets to the 2017 Hillbilly Music Festival, October 12th through the 15th, on the farm in Eureka Springs. This four-day camping, Bluegrass Music Fest will present national touring acts, local artists, food vendors, workshops, and more. Winners announced September 29th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Register and find information at KUAF.com. 91.3 KUAF is supported by Highlands Oncology Group. Highlands Oncology's cancer specialists provide comprehensive, collaborative care, allowing patients and families to stay close to home. With locations in Benton and Washington counties, Highlands Oncology is helping patients fight the battle every day. HighlandsOncologyGroup.com.
Monday on the Daily Edition of Ozarks at Large, expanding the role of the audience when it comes to certain performances.
Not gone are the days, but we're approaching gone are the days when it's a passive come to the theater, fold your hands in your lap, and applaud at the appropriate moments and go home.
New programs designed to engage Walton Arts Center audiences on Mondays. Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 p.m. on 91.3 KUAF. Then later available at ozarksatlarge.com and at KUAF.com. And Sunday morning on Weekend Ozarks at Large at 9 a.m. on 91.3, a new project attempting to record hate crimes in Arkansas and the legislative debate over whether the state should have a hate crime law. Plus, a tour of the brand new House of Songs in Bentonville, a preview of the second annual Shelter Jam at George's Majestic Lounge, and much more. Weekend Ozarks at Large, this and every Sunday morning at 9 on 91.3 KUAF.
On this week's On the Media, one white supremacist with a tiki torch was caught on camera in Charlottesville and recognized.
Classmates of his on Twitter said, "Oh my God, it's that guy from my medieval history class."
Turns out, Nazis are devoted to medieval history. And Taylor Swift, to be explained on this week's On the Media from WNYC.
On the Media, Sunday morning at 11 on 91.3 KUAF. As Becca Martin Brown pointed out a few minutes ago, much going on this weekend. Let me remind you of one more item worth your attention. tomorrow afternoon at the Fayetteville Public Library. The library will be hosting a screening of part of the new documentary film from Ken Burns, The Vietnam War. And then after the screening, I'll moderate a discussion with panel members Colonel Karen Lloyd, Director of Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress, Roy Reed, author and retired reporter for the New York Times and Arkansas Gazette, Preston Jones, Vietnam War scholar and professor of history at John Brown University, and Jim Hale, local Vietnam veteran. The entire session, the screening and the panel discussion, 2 to 4, tomorrow afternoon at the Fayetteville Public Library. The program is free, and it's open to the public. More details at faylib.org. Handmade Moments came back. The duo of Anna Moss and Joel Ludford are not unfamiliar to Northwest Arkansas, but they'd been away for a while. And they'll be playing a couple of shows pretty soon, including Pesto Fest at Tricycle Farms in Fayetteville tomorrow, and a show at Stage 18 on the 22nd. In the two or so years since they've last been on our show, they've dealt with plenty. They had modified a touring bus with a stage on top and solar power.
That ran off veg oil. We went to California, went to Miami, played some shows, went to California, played some shows on top of it. And then we got hit head on. That bus got destroyed. But we survived. And then we wrote some more songs and kept on trucking. And now we have a new van. And here we are in Arkansas again for a little bit.
Yeah, the past 2 years, you know, it was pretty dramatic, actually. We
what happened?
A lot has happened in the past 2 years. But we're stoked to be back in town. I feel like nothing's happened, though. Like, whenever I come back to Fayetteville, maybe it's because we have this troubadour life. But we come back, and I'm like, all right, Fayetteville's still rocking. Like, it's a little different. Things are always changing.
Growing.
They're always doing too much construction and knocking down too many cool old buildings, in my opinion. But I come back, and it's buzzing, and everyone's having a good time, and I feel like it's the same as it was before. We played at the farmer's market this morning, and Tuesday and Thursday markets, and loaded up. And
you walk around, you see people smiling at each other and hugging on the streets, and I'm like, yes, Fayetteville.
I know. You mentioned the bus and the accident, the collision, and I know that had to be very hard. Watching from afar through social media, one thing I saw was the love that you had from people from all over the place who were, you know, following you. And that, what was that like?
That was crazy. That was great.
So amazing.
It was overwhelming. There was so much. I didn't know who to thank, and I was just so happy that everybody was there with us, because it sucked, and it's a long process going through a wreck like that. Luckily, I don't have, like, any crazy injuries right now. Like, I broke my hip, and I broke a bunch of bones in my foot, and I was in the wheelchair for about 3 months. So luckily, it wasn't any worse, and I'm out of a wheelchair now. It's amazing. Anybody that's going through that needs your support, because there's a lot of people that go through these car wrecks and that get so much worse off than we are, that get hurt a lot worse. And yeah, it's been over a year now, and we still, you know, haven't had, like, a court case go through or anything like that. And luckily we had all of our friends and family donate all this money, thousands of dollars, to us to keep us going in those months.
And honestly, we don't know what we would have done without it. People were so kind. We're just overpouring with love. And
yeah, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful,
really,
and I feel a little guilty compared to seeing, you know, other people every day. Like, man, it could be that quick. A little car wreck can change your life. And if you don't have, like, a huge support network of people that come give you money and love, then
how hard it can be.
Might be impossible.
You know, as far as the legal system is concerned, like, we're still, that case is still pending. It's such a complicated case, because two cars hit each other before they hit us, so there's a lot of people involved. So, like, you know, we're still waiting on all that, but we feel very grateful that we've been able to still play music and move on with our lives regardless.
It was amazing to have people from all around the world contact us and send letters and send messages and send money and send food and send ideas and all these great things, books. It was amazing. It's easy to be, like, a happy about your recovery whenever you have all that love coming at
encouragement
you.
Encouragement, too, yeah.
Since you've been back, you've had a show at the Botanical Gardens,
yeah,
right? Outside.
It was so fun. It was so fun.
That was darn tootin'.
And then you mentioned Farmer's Market. Now you're going to be at Pesto Fest,
mm-hmm.
which is at Tricycle Farms.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, Stage 18 with Baird.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you more about that first. But let me talk about Pesto Fest just a little bit, because Tricycle Farms is this amazing place.
Oh, it's so cool.
And they keep growing. They keep growing and doing cooler things. Like, I was in town last week just for a few days, and I walked over to see Don and see what he was doing and just to poke around the farm. And there's, like, tons, literally, like, 3 tons of sweet potatoes on a flatbed trailer that this truck is pulling, and it's just sitting there in the driveway. And everyone's hauling potatoes, so I, like, start hauling potatoes. You know, they do a lot. They plant food. They teach people how to grow their own food. And they recover a bunch of food that would go wasted and give it to hungry people. We still have 1 out of 5 kids in this rich, blessed county that have food insecurity. 1 out of 5 kids. It's incredible. So what he's doing and what everyone's doing over there at Tricycle is really amazing.
Really powerful stuff. I think it starts at five, and we'll play somewhere in there.
Ticket includes our music, and it includes food for the night as well, and entrance to the pesto competition, because it is Pesto Fest. So get your basil pestos. Get your watercress pestos ready.
And I'll ask you about Baird and Stage 18 in a minute, but can we hear a song?
Sure.
Yes. What do you want to do? You got a bass there.
One, two, three, four. She can read a physics book for hours. Binge watch all night on that TV. Stare at the window looking at nothing, but wandering eyes are never there on me. Wandering eyes, do you love me with your cold blank stare? She's got eyes that can look right through me, but doesn't even know that I'm there. Doc says she's got 20/20. She reads every word on that sign. When I try to meet my baby's eyes, her wandering eyes are never set on mine. Wandering eyes, do you love me with your cold blank stare? She's got eyes that can look right through me, but doesn't even know that I'm there. Never lost a blinking contest. She keeps her eyes wide open in a storm. She will stare directly at an eclipse. Neither of her retinas ever burn. Wandering eyes, do you love me with your cold blank stare? She's got eyes that can look right through me, but doesn't even wandering eyes, do you love me with your cold blank stare? She's got eyes that can look right through me, doesn't even know that I'm there. She doesn't even know that I'm there.
Y'all are so wonderful and
thank
so
you.
Fun to have you. And I'm glad this song was on our show after the eclipse, so no one will think that they can stare at
that they can
the
do
eclipse.
That, yeah.
Did you see the eclipse? Were you in?
We were both in Fayetteville. Actually, we were both in Arkansas, so neither of us saw the full eclipse. But I was on a float trip that day on the Mulberry River, and Anna was hanging out with our French friends and like bike riding downtown while it happened. So we both had really amazing days. I was playing that exact song actually during the eclipse because I was working on it that day. And me and my friend, we had glasses and we were looking up at, at the eclipse, and we were giving them to the raft guy or the guy there, and he was looking too. And then we kind of just got caught up playing music in the middle of it. So we got to watch a little bit of it, and then we played that song. So that's my eclipse story. And then Anna helped me write the last verse.
This will be the first time you've played at Stage 18?
Yeah. Well, actually, Joel and I both sat in the other night for the jazz jam.
We went to the jazz
jam. And that was super cool. I'd never been in there before. What a sweet little space.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting. It was very nice.
Yeah, very intimate.
Yeah.
It's just a stage. I mean, it's like there's beautiful art on the walls, but it's not super, it's not like really distracting. It's just a room. The bar is right there when you walk in, and then the stage is back there. So I think it's cool. It's set up to be a stage.
People are there to hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not here there to socialize. I mean, you're there with friends often, but it's about the music.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. We play some gigs in town where we can pack a lot of people in there, and it's a total party. And we can charge like a decent small cover where everybody can come in and we can have a huge crowd and just get buck wild, get nasty in there. But it's also nice to be able to have a smaller crowd of people that are there with an intent to listen and not just like getting drunk with their friends and screaming at each other and getting in fights, which doesn't happen every time we play. But when there's
just any time you get like several hundred people together and a lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
That could happen, you know?
Yes.
It could just happen.
And this is part of a series that Baird has put together.
Yes. And I'm so excited that he asked us to play. It's really cool.
So, yeah, I've been playing on Baird's guitar for the last, like, year. We got it right after the car wreck because all of our instruments were destroyed.
We got it about a year ago.
It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful. Thank you. I loved it.
We've been playing it for
about
a year. It's
got these bevels on it. I call her bevelry, like Beverly, but I'm sorry. Anyway, nobody else. Bevelry sounds like revelry, and I'm not really, I don't know, that's kind of not a great guitar name. But when I first get a guitar or an instrument, I'm just obsessed over it for a while. It's a really nice feeling of just like getting to know the instrument and getting to know how it plays. And I'm that way with instruments that I don't know how to play either. I'm just like, what's this? It's so much fun. Let's mess with this. And I'm only really good at like these like type of instruments, of stringed instruments. When we got our upright bass last year, we were both playing it all the time. We're just infatuated with it, like, whoa.
It's fun to play something that's brand new to you, you know? It's an adventure. It's like a new exploration.
Well, I'm going to ask you, and I'll let you decide whether you want to play something fun, call to action or whatever, but can you play one more song to end our visit?
Yeah.
Captain speaking, the plane is going down. Seatbelt sign has been turned off. You can get up and walk around. Find the one you love. Time to join the Mile High Club. This old plane is going down. This old plane is going down. Going down, going down. Hostesses are serving liquor, beer and wine, it's all for free. I've unlocked this cockpit door. You can come and drink with me. On the left you'll see the ocean, on the right you'll see the sea. If you ain't happy, then get happy. It's your only time to be up so high just to come back down. But the
world keeps spinning round and round. It's a giveaway at the lost and found. When you're up so high, just to come back. Notice that the oxygen mask is falling from the roof at last. Filled with laughing gas instead. Let it go straight to your head. The smoking band's been lifted too. Have yourself a joint or two. This old plane is going down. This old plane is going down. Going down, going down, going down. This is your captain speaking. This is not a test. All four engines, they have failed. Swear to God I did my best. Find the one you love. Time to join the Mile High Club. This old plane is going down. This old plane is going down.
Anna Moss and Joel Ludford are Handmade Moments. They will play at Pesto Fest at Tricycle Farms in Fayetteville tomorrow and at Stage 18 in downtown Fayetteville on September 22nd. And you never know when they're going to pop up at a farmer's market. More details can be found about them and their shows at Handmade Moments Facebook page. Joel and Anna actually played more music for us when they were here in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. And we'll hear those songs and comments on an upcoming edition of Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Theater Squared has launched Season 12 with the Tony Award-winning musical Fun Home on stage now through this Sunday, September 17th at Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. Graphic novelist Allison Bechdel dives deep into her past to tell the story of her volatile, one-of-a-kind father and her childhood at the family business, the Bechdel Funeral Home. Performances run Wednesday through Sunday, 443-5600, or theater2.org for tickets.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blues Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday. I've got new music from Greg Allman, Tommy Castro, Danny Wild. I even brought in a special guest.
Hey folks, this is Jesse Dean. Be sure to join us Saturday, September 16th in Winslow, Arkansas for the 35th Annual WinFest Music Festival.
That's this Friday at 9 o'clock, the Generic Blues Show on KUAF.
A service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF. Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Morrow. Morrow located, what, about 7 miles south of Lincoln, I think? Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for spending part of your Friday with us. We will be back with you Sunday morning at 9 for weekend Ozarks at Large. And then a full week planned Monday through Friday next week of new shows at noon and 7 on 91.3 KUAF. A bit earlier in today's program, mentioned some of the athletic events scheduled for the region this weekend. Missed one, so we'll make up for that right now. Arkansas Swimming and Diving. Opening the 2017-18 season tomorrow morning at 11. Razorbacks will be home at the Hypernatatorium facing Southern Methodist University. It's the second season for Neil Harper as the head coach of the Razorbacks. Arkansas went 5-3 last year and actually on a 4-dual match winning streak. They won their last 4 dual meets in the 2016-17 seasons. Thanks so much for listening. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend.